and it gives you a picture of what they can do. Learners can actually go through learning modules, they can practice in terms of assignments, and they can track where they are in terms of progress for the year in terms of the CAPS aligned modules. Vodacom's launched the CARE program, and we're actually rolling it out, and this program is where we focus on initiatives that ensure that all customers are confidently connected at all times. They're always in control. We reward customers, and customers always have easy access. The slide shows Net Promoter Score. Net Promoter Score, or NPS, is a score that we measure customers' happiness and how likely they are to recommend us to their friends as opposed to competitors. And in the last year, we've actually seen the results of our initiatives that we've been doing for the last few years, and it's resulted in an improved score coming from both network differentiation as well as improved value to customers.
Just before we move off price, just reflecting on the DTPS comparison yesterday, we note that the DTPS source was the ICASA retail tariff analysis report. We also noted that ICASA yesterday correctly qualified this report on the basis that it's incomplete, since promotions and bundle offers have been omitted, mainly as a result of the lack of data with ICASA. We agree with ICASA that promotions and bundles have a significant impact on what customers effectively pay, and if these are included, Vodacom is likely to compare favorably with other operators. And when we complete the ICASA report, Vodacom actually compares favorably. We also support ICASA's commitment to prepare a complete and accurate report going forward, and Vodacom offered its assistance in this regard. So just on the slide, what we have is ICASA's press release that accompanied this report. And as ICASA qualified yesterday, they deliberately excluded promotions and bundles, mainly as a result of a lack of information. But ICASA explained the measures that they've put in place in order to obtain that information. And we're confident that working with ICASA, we'll be able to assist with getting to a more complete and accurate report. Just in terms of the graph on the left, I think what we saw yesterday is a graph where Vodacom's 79 cents offer was excluded. If we include it, as we've done in our recommendation to ICASA at the time, we compare favorably. Next slide. Just in terms of some of the key takeouts as to what others say, and we just quoted from some of the reports, looking at the GSMA report on the mobile economy. They talk about regional outperformers and the fact that 4G is gaining traction in South Africa. On the second takeout, South Africa will account for more than half of the new 4G connections in SADC, reflecting an established 4G ecosystem and continued investment by operators. And then South Africa leads in the number of app downloads in the region, reflecting the high rate of smartphone adoption. In terms of research, ICT Africa comments around the value for money index. So if we take into account the quality of the service, Vodacom compares well. We offer good value. In terms of the second takeout there, it's the importance of price in relation to speed. So as Andrew started off the discussion, one cannot look at the indicators in isolation. It's important to consider all relevant indicators, which includes price, quality, and reach. And then the issue around spectrum, impacting negatively on operators' ability to extend the value on mobile broadband. Next slide. So what we've attempted to do here is to summarize all the important indicators. From our perspective, despite the various constraints that we are subject to, South Africa's mobile broadband has made significant progress in achieving the NDP vision. The investment and competition amongst operators are enhancing the provision of universal access to reliable, affordable, and secure broadband services to all South Africans. of caution when considering the results of benchmarks. One should consider if all relevant performance indicators have been considered and whether a proper methodology was used in selecting the countries used in the comparison. So what we've observed over during the course of yesterday and today would be benchmarks that focus on individual components, mostly price, and we note that other significant indicators like reach, coverage, where South Africa performs extremely well, sitting at 99% coverage in terms of high-speed data connectivity, that those indicators are ignored. Our view is that if a benchmark is done or a comparison is done, all indicators are important, and with all the focus on benchmarks, it's an area that Vodacom would be keen or eager to assist the likes of Research ICT Africa to work together in order to ensure that we get to a comparison that incorporates all important components. Next slide. I think this is supposed to be a positive slide saying that things can improve, specifically on data transformation. So again, yesterday and today we've heard issues around spectrum, rapid deployment of infrastructure. So on spectrum, we currently have significant spectrum constraints, and there's a limit that as to what we can do as operators through site densification. There are severe constraints in terms of a cumbersome approval process to build new sites. We face objections from the public against putting up new sites, and long lead times to get power connections. It also impacts on service quality. With regards to fiber deployment, Wayleaves require extensive stakeholder approvals by evaluating the route on a case-by-case basis. Property owner approvals are required, etc. And then in terms of microwave backhaul, there are also limitations with regards to what the infrastructure can handle. Moving on to the next slide. We are saying it's positive because it can be resolved. So when it comes to assigning spectrum, we believe that efficient assignment and subsequent use of high-demand spectrum will support service innovation. It will increase competition, increase job opportunities. It will immediately relieve current capacity constraints, which stifle competition, quality, and affordability. And it will allow mobile operators to further extend coverage, increase capacity, and reduce cost to end users. These benefits will be even greater when complemented with the enablement of rapid deployment of infrastructure. Once a rapid deployment policy and associated regulations are in place, network licensees will achieve speedier deployment, which will lower rollout cost and enhance infrastructure competition and facilitate more choice to consumers. It should lead to the standardization of the national requirements for granting permits and the authorization to roll out infrastructure. This should lead to the decrease in the cost of network rollout and enhance competition in providing ICT services. It would limit disputes between operators and landowners and contributes towards the achievement of the NDP vision and goals. Next slide.
I think we'll conclude there, Madam Chair, and just thank you for the opportunity. We avail ourselves to questioning, and then I guess to make the concluding comments thereafter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I must highlight that there are slides which I can't read, which makes it difficult for us to understand what is being communicated. For example, your slide on comparisons and NDP. Some of those graphs, one can read them. I tried to open them even here on the gadget, because on the presentation you can't see what's there. If you can just clearly, maybe later, just change it properly and send it to us for our reporting, because it will be difficult to read. And maybe before I open for members to respond, there's a slide I need department to respond to and ICASA to respond to. The slide that speaks to DTPS comparison. Yesterday when you presented, I asked the sources of your information. It's being disputed, if I may say, if we can get clarity. Acting TDG and the team from ICASA. You presented stats to us. The stats was presented by DTPS. I asked the source from DTPS. DTPS said the source is ICASA. Both the teams acknowledged. So I'm saying there's information that is contrary that is being presented to us. I need you to respond to it before we can go to questions.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members, and thanks for the call for the presentation. Chair, we agree and we still stand firm to the information that we got from ICASA as a source. And the ICASA was here yesterday. In their presentation, they did talk to that kind of information. So from our side, we use ICASA as a legal authority that draws data to operators. So I think ICASA is here. But we still believe, Chairperson, that this accurate that we got from ICASA. Thank you so much.
Okay, ICASA?
Thank you, Chair. ICASA confirms that the slide is based on the information that was filed with ICASA in terms of the standard terms and conditions regulations. However, as indicated yesterday, these tariffs are based on headline tariffs or published tariffs, which do not take into consideration promotions and promotional bundles offered by operators. So when one takes into account those promotions and bundles, yes, the effective tariff or the ultimate tariff payable by subscribers will be less than the published tariffs. So the published tariffs are essentially or basically the maximum tariffs payable by consumers. So if you take into account promotions, the effective or the ultimate price paid by consumers is less than what you see on the slide. However, I just want to highlight that the 79 cent tariff plan highlighted by Vodacom was a promotion at the time of compiling the report. So it was not a permanent tariff plan. I think it's incorrect to say that the 79 cent is a tariff plan. It is a tariff plan, but it's a promotional tariff plan. So promotions are typically valid for 3 months or 6 months, and they are not permanent. So the 120 anytime per second is a permanent tariff plan. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the clarity. We'll come back to the team Vodacom. Members, shall I note you? Honorable Mokwena, Honorable McKenzie, Honorable Shin, Honorable Ndwingeni, Honorable Tsotets. Colleagues, I shouldn't lose anyone at the back. Prof. Gilbert, Dr. I'm trying to pronounce your name. I'll call you Carlos, pardon me, I think. While I call others, Doctor, I need to pronounce your surname correctly. And then you'll be first, and then we'll have Dr. Johnson as the last person speaking. In that order, Honorable Mugwena.
Thank you, Chair. I think expectedly the rug is being pulled over our eyes here. There's a lot of hiding behind jargon and terms and so on and so forth. What is a fact is that, and this is the cry that we've been hearing from people, that tariffs are too expensive. I know for a fact that I would rather be in Tanzania where Vodacom has operations than be in South Africa in terms of tariffs because it is cheaper there. This is a fact. We know that Vodacom is the most expensive, has the most expensive tariffs in the country. Internally, we're not even discussing compared to other countries. Vodacom is the most expensive. What Vodacom and perhaps other mobile operators are not taking into account is that people are complaining, and not just about tariffs. They're complaining that they're being given data that gets finished quicker. And this is a fact. This is what we're seeing on the ground. I'm a user myself, and I'm seeing it myself. I'm speaking from personal experience. Now, Vodacom gives a glowing report of ICASA and the report that ICASA gave yesterday. There's a sweetheart kind of relationship between Vodacom and ICASA that is happening. What we know is that 4 years ago, the license requirements for Vodacom, MTN, and all other mobile operators was that they're supposed to provide internet services to schools. And they were given a number which is 5,000. This was a license requirement. They did not even reach a quarter of that. When 4 years ago, ICASA then said to them that no, you're no longer required to provide to 5,000. It was reduced to 1,500. We've got in excess of 26,000 schools. No explanation, no reprimand, nothing. Just a simple reduction of provision to that service. There's something that is going wrong here, and I think we need to be serious about this. And that is the fact that business is not taking development seriously. We're not taking the issue of poverty seriously. The fact that we've just heard how telecommunications is affecting people's lives in their own homes. It's affecting their safety, their education. And business is not taking these things seriously. They're telling us that they're investing 8 billion. We know that they're making in excess of 18 billion in revenue after investment. These are the things that will then force us to say that business, Vodacom, MTN, and all of them are not taking this country seriously. And perhaps ICASA needs to then take a much stronger stance in regulating, because their position is not to protect business, but to protect the electorate, to protect our people. That is your job. And I'm hoping that the department will take that into consideration, that ICASA is not supposed to come here and explain to us why costs are high. They should come and explain to us how they're going to be lowered so that it will reach those people in Lusikisiki, in Limpopo, in the rural areas, in Mpumalanga. Those are the people that we need to be reaching. It is wrong that for a contract, for a middle-class person who has a contract, who can afford, that you're giving them lesser tariffs than a guy who cannot afford, the guy who doesn't have a job. You're costing them more. And the fact that you keep telling us about the access that you have increased and so on and so forth, the fact that you're reaching more people is precisely the reason why costs should be lower. Because you're reaching more people, you've got more sources of revenue. You're not taking us seriously. You're not taking this country seriously at all. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable McKenzie.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a brief comment. I'm glad the Honourable Member mentioned Tanzania, because I was fortunate enough to visit Tanzania about 15 years ago when Vodacom first launched in that country, Vodacom and MTN, I believe. And Tanzania was just emerging out of the socialist economic paradigm. Its economy was in ruins. And certainly when Vodacom invested there and MTN invested there, they drove economic growth in Tanzania. And I remember in Dar, the only new buildings were your buildings, and the only new infrastructure was your infrastructure. And we can apply a similar thing, I think, in South Africa, where we've seen the contribution of companies like Vodacom and MTN in driving the growth of networks and the development of telecommunications in our country. So I think when we start beating companies like Vodacom, we should do it softly, because there's a great deal of economic contribution that you've made to our countries and to other developing countries. Of your those investment figures were very impressive, the 8.6 billion rand invested in the last year and 26 billion over 3 years. What percentage of your revenue does this represent? Then how many countries does Vodacom operate in Africa and globally? How would you rate the cost of doing business in South Africa compared to the cost of doing business in other countries in Africa, like Tanzania, for example? And would it be fair to say that the profits made in South Africa are used to fund network rollout or network development in other countries that you start, especially in terms of greenfield sites? You mentioned free access service, which were very impressive, the range of those. Are these offer, when people use these free access services, if they're phoning into that network from another network, are there origination charges that apply? And lastly, and I'm trying to get my head around this, and it applies to Postnet and the post office as well. If Vodacom is the most expensive network in South Africa, then why is it that you're the biggest by far in terms of users and user choice? I just seem to have a graph in my mind that shows Vodacom, say, at 100, and the next biggest network at around 60. So that, you know, that says to me that people are choosing to use Vodacom and Vodacom services. So if you're the most expensive, why do you think that people are choosing to use your company? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Shin.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just specifically on Vodacom's presentation, we talk here, your slides aren't numbered, so we're busking a bit here. Best value for growth you talk about. And you're talking about data traffic having grown by 68%, which is faster than your revenue. So how is that possible? Are you not charging properly for this availability of traffic? And then I'm wondering if there is any research done in your consumer or customer evaluation where you can actually pinpoint the increase in usage per customer. Like, you know, 5 years ago they were using 500 meg, now they're using 10 gig. And so therefore obviously their costs to communicate has gone up in relation to the extra services and applications that they're using. Is there any kind of measure per customer that we could get? Then on the next slide you talk about driving down device prices. Now you have a device here for 399 rand. Is that the total cost price of this, or is this a monthly contract thing? And I'd like to know, because I mean, I'd like to get a new iPhone, please, for 399 rand. If you could I would really appreciate that one. Yeah, there we go. Then towards the end, you talk about data growth and cost control, and what measures you think we could use. You talk about evidence-based proportionate regulation. Can you please expand on that? What you mean by that? And then generally, wanting to know the cost of building infrastructure and the cost of devices using that infrastructure. We know that it's largely imported. Would there be an argument or a discussion to be had on the role either waiving or reducing import taxes and VAT on these devices and on this infrastructure equipment,
is worth having in a in view of the within the parameters of reducing the cost to communicate. I'm not wanting to reduce for a moment the amount of income due to the fiscus from these things, whether there would be any value in even having that discussion. Thank you.
Honorable Ndongeni.
Thanks, Chair. Just only one question. Can Vodacom please tell us what exactly plan to ensure that data tariffs are further driven down and affordable? Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Tsotetsi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Actually, in government, among the policies we have is an economic transformation policy, which is meant to address the legacy of the past and narrow the gap of inequalities. It means government is not in the business of making worse the situation of mobile operators, but we advocate for affordable cost because our mandate is to represent the public that has put us here to make sure that their life is better and affordable, given the means that they have. And we'll really be, more happier if next time we meet or we call people in this fashion, we hear from them that the prices or the cost is better than yesterday. We really will be disappointed if from time to time when we have such meetings, we hear the stories that we hear from people. They are really depressing. And like I say, that the business of government is not to make your situation better. And we acknowledge the transformation, of course. But moving forward, we'll hear from the people if really there are a reduction in the cost of communication. And we agree with Chairperson that the matter between ICASA and Vodacom will be pursued at another time. We are already stirred by the contradiction of information that we are being presented with today. We talked about transparency, that it is important for consumers to know about our seasonal pricing so that consumers could make informed choices and target the appropriate time to buy bundles or make calls. But if we have some hidden costs, that we say will benefit the consumers, but they're not explicit to their disposal for them to know what is going to benefit. And coming to the information regarding data transformation that can be improved. There's a bullet here that talks about the lack of policy or alignment of policy in different municipalities. We'll appreciate if you name the municipalities so that we can join hands with you and make sure that the situation is getting better. We do oversight as public representatives, and that's the only way that you can monitor progress and make sure that people who are representing do benefit.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Members. Prof. Gilbert.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just wanted to go back to some specific questions that were raised yesterday and relate them to this, but I just, with respect, did want to emphasize the importance of the committee in making these recommendations to understand the critical relationship between investments and access and ultimately affordability through regulated effective regulation of competition. The defense that ICASA was giving yesterday about the costs of communication reflect the real costs of communication. We have to acknowledge these and see how we work around them, how we work, we work with them. So the competitive environment that they're reporting in is depending on the competition between the operators. We don't necessarily want the operators all to have the same price. The distinctive characteristic of the Vodacom success story that we're seeing with investment is around the quality of their service. That is what people are prepared to pay for. What we need to look at is where the gaps are. In terms of competition, we do not have effective competition throughout the country. We've heard from the previous input that there are geographic areas where there's no player or there's only one player. People there do not have these choices. So just very quickly before I get to the question on that, I mean, the question in regard, just to highlight the point that I'm making, The question in regard to Tanzania's prices being so low, we're working extensively with Tanzania on these demand stimulation because their broadband price is low, but they're not seeing the necessary uptake of this low broadband. So it is being passed on to end users, very poor country, much lower per capita incomes. But one needs to look at these investments and these low prices in relation to penetration, as has been pointed out. You'll recall that we used to see Ethiopia was the lowest. This was a politically set price by a monopoly operator in the country. There was no profitability in the company to extend the network. The network barely extended beyond Addis Ababa. Even if you take the countries that have been referred to today, Rwanda, the Rwanda's penetration, according to the ITU from 2015, was only 18%. So these are penetration rates that are much, much lower than we're looking at, and obviously very different countries in terms of their size, etc. These are absolutely, ICASA has to look at these, and it has to go much further than it has. As we've said over the last few days, we can't actually establish if there's price gouging from these dominant operators because the market reviews haven't been done. In fact, the market reviews have been done, but they haven't been made public, and now we're doing another one again. So there are regulatory challenges, but we need to keep the correct incentives that will ensure the kind of investments we've seen in this country that have delivered these services. That's not to say that they shouldn't be regulated and they shouldn't be made affordable through various mechanisms. And in that regard, I'd like to ask Vodacom specifically to respond to the input yesterday from ISPA around wholesale access or wholesale facilities leasing and what the challenges are there in terms of network capacity or anything else, if there are any, and distinguish that from the community access request for spectrum that's been made. So use or share spectrum that's not being used. In a rural area where we've only got MTN, why can the community not access other GSM spectrum that you're not using in order to provide low-cost services to communities?
Dr. Ray Moreno.
Thank you very much. You can call me Carlos, Honorable Chair. There is no problem with that.
Worked for your title. I need to acknowledge that.
Thank you. My question to Vodacom, I mean, obviously, I really want to know from the answer to what just Professor Gidwal asked, but it's more related to out of bundles rates. There was an article in Test Central some months ago saying that in your full year report from postpaid contracts you got 6.5 billion revenue from out of bundles and from prepaid you got 16.5 billion rands in revenue. This revenue comes mainly from illiterate people that don't understand what is in bundle and out of bundle. So I would like to know what is the technical reasoning behind out of bundle pricing being double the price of normal pricing, and why instead of keep on charging people, you don't allow them to access your network. These are people, again, that don't know that they are keep on getting their airtime consumed by data. It's people that don't know and cannot read those terms and conditions. So I would like a clarification on that. Thank you.
Dr. Johnson?
Thank you, Chair. I think, South Africa really appreciates, obviously, the good coverage and the quality of service of the network. But when one looks at what is a priority for a lot of users, especially in poorer areas, if you sort of gave them a quality of service in terms of drop rate of one or two versus, a much lower cost access rate, I think they would choose the latter. So I think the key issue on the table here is the cost of access. And I think what the South African public would really appreciate is just, and this is to all the operators, is just to play open cards with the public and say, this is why the costs are high, because there are certain costs, whether it's spectrum or whether it's the cost of fiber or whether it's the cost to connect to international bandwidth. We want to understand why South Africa is more expensive, and just tell us what it is that is pushing up these costs so we can understand. I think there are certain metrics one can't argue with in the IST, research IST Africa, cheapest 1 gigabyte basket. It's hard to argue with the cheapest cost access for 1 gigabyte, where South Africa is rated 16th. So what is it that is pushing up these costs? Where are the costs going? Would be really appreciated. And the last point, I think, comes to me from especially the presentation yesterday about students and needing to, you know, go to dangerous places to access Wi-Fi and so on. Another thing I think that would be really appreciated, and this is again to all the operators, is if we could have zero rate access to all universities, to university websites where you have to hand in assignments, if that could be zero rated, that would go a long way, and I'm sure wouldn't have a large impact on the revenue, but would go a long way to helping South Africa, especially our students who are struggling. Thank you.
Thank you very much, colleagues, for your inputs. I think to the team Vodacom, firstly for me, it was important that we verify the information that has come through and echo the sentiments by Dr. Johnson, the last one. Because I think the issue is for us to understand in terms of your prices, because what is coming through, and that's why I had to ask for that verification of information around the slide where you inserted the Vodacom 79 cents as a verification, so that we can deal with holistically the issues around the cost, so that we can understand. And one of the issues, again, I think we comment, I'm impressed by what you are reflecting on around the free education. I think I am saying this is for primary and higher education, if I understand correctly. So it's not speaking to the categories of higher education. If I'm correct, correct me if I'm wrong, I need that correction. And following what was raised with us yesterday by the SRC president of UWC around the cost and the impact on student lives around their ability to be able to get information. Now, the other slide that I'm interested in that you have put in, unfortunately the issues around your comparison, I can't read at all what is there. Perhaps one would look at it, it was going to be interesting to look at this, in terms of your penetration and the internet users. I can't see the other one. But coming to where you talk about data transformation can improve, following what was raised with us yesterday as well by the SMME representatives, Gareth Cliff and Thibaut Touch from the Touch Centre. And I'm looking at data growth and costs. Now, just to verify with your presentation and what you're saying to us, is that because I'm looking at where you talk about data growth and cost control, are you saying to us that the only time we're going to be able to get this data cost either below would mean that the assignments, we need to assign spectrum? Is that what you are saying to us? I would see, because I need to understand, because I'm looking at that one of, even I'm linking both of them. The deployment of fiber, slow high capacity per call deployment fibers, the network limited issues, what you are giving us there. And I think I'm linking that to what colleagues have been saying around your numbers in terms of subscribers versus the ability to bring down cost. And then lastly, on that issue, or not lastly, on that issue of what ICASA has said, can you respond on the issue that the 79 cents was a promotion that was limited, not the normal cost that you've got? I'm glad issues raised. One of the submissions, I'm not so sure you've been able to look at, submissions made by ICT Africa reflects in terms of the costs where South Africa in terms of SMSs and voice basket, we are rated number 10 with those costs. And then when you look at that, still you've got Cell C coming out cheaper, Telkom coming second. On this one it says Vodacom third, Virgin Mobile fourth, and then, it's first Cell C, Telkom, MTN, Vodacom, and then Virgin Mobile. So even on that research in terms of your cost, in terms of voice and SMS basket, Vodacom is coming across a bit higher. Now, I'm just raising this thing so that we can understand in terms of the costs and with what you have raised as disputing the issues that are before us. I'm not so sure if colleagues, I hope the documents were circulated. Again, on that research and submissions, it says operator monthly 1 gigabyte prices in quarter 3, 2016. Prices in terms of South African rands. It gives Telkom Mobile at 99, Cell C at 149, Vodacom at 149, Virgin Mobile at 150, and MTN at 160. I'm reading this so that the other operators as they come, because we're going to need to understand even in terms of their costs. Now, the other thing that I'm just flagging these things because we're trying to really understand exactly where are we sitting with this price? What are we talking about? Because we seem to be having quite a number of information that is here before us, looking at what ICASA has presented and what you have presented. And I want to understand in terms of even what ICASA has said, that your cost in terms of your promotions and your maybe explain to us how does it work in a simple term. Your promotions versus your standard rates, so that we can have a sense of what are we talking about, so that we can understand the impact, because ICASA is saying to us, what you're talking about would not have an impact. Almost saying to us, they have not taken into consideration your promotions or operators' promotions, because promotions are there for a particular period and therefore they go. But this is what your price is constantly. Now, if you are saying to us, if that had been taken into consideration, your prices would have come lower than what has been reflected by the department's presentation yesterday. Now, just take us through and make us understand how is that possible? Is this promotion for 3 months, for 6 months? How does it impact? Is it what I come, if I come after the promotion, what happens? So that we get a sense, how long does it run and all those things. So that we really get a sense of where are we. There is a concern around the issues of costs, and we really try, because if you are being said to be one of the culprits, I think, let me put it that way, not a favorable word, but people who are impacting on the ability of South Africans to be able to communicate better. Now, part of what I would want to put to you is to ask, is there other options? Are we, our only hope as South Africans is for the spectrum to be released for us to see a relief? That's my question. Thank you. Prof, I think you're leading.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair, and the questions. It's clear that there's various themes that one can respond to. for purposes of being efficient, though, I'm going to propose that we start off with Henny and Zunaid. Perhaps the most efficient way of doing so is for them just to literally address as they've captured things. I will find some way of tracking it so that to the extent that there are issues that are unaddressed, we can just flag that and make sure that that the questions are addressed in a manner that is satisfactory. So if I can just hand over to Henny or Zunaid.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Chair. Maybe if I can start off with the first one I've got, which is what is the percentage of, or what percentage of revenue is investment? And that's, for this last year, it's 17.7% of service revenue in terms of CapEx spend versus revenue. How many countries do we operate in? So from a mobile perspective, we operate Vodacom itself in South Africa, Lesotho, DRC, Mozambique, and Tanzania. So that's five. In fixed, there's multiple other countries in terms of smaller stuff, but that's probably in excess of 10. From a Vodafone perspective, Vodafone has operations in over 20 countries, and they also have partner market operations. I actually don't have the full number, but it's multiple other markets as well. The next question was cost of doing business in SA compared to other countries, and that's actually a really difficult one. I think it depends on what you're trying to do and the infrastructure around it, so we don't actually have an answer. In some areas, in some cities, it's cheaper to do it in Africa than it is in South Africa. In other cases, it's more expensive. I think there's also the cost of importing into different countries, taxes, the cost of labor, stuff like that is considerably different. So we actually haven't looked at a simple way of doing it, but I think it's very difficult to compare. From the question, profits made in SA used to fund other countries, the answer is no. Generally, we review opportunities of funding or opportunities into going a country on an individual basis. So we review opportunities holistically and say what is the cost of funding versus the cost or the return benefit, and that's how it's viewed. A lot of our money or profits are actually given away in terms of dividends based on the Vodacom dividend policy. In terms of access services, so origination charge to calling other networks, we have fixed charges, so whether you call or what we've tried to do is to consolidate and create transparency and simplification in terms of pricing. So if you're calling, most of our tariffs are actually based on a flat rate, so a rate independent of who you're calling. So as an example, our default tariff or the 79 cents tariff, which has actually been brought up quite a bit, if I say 79 cents is the cost per second billing, regardless of who you're calling, whether it's Vodacom, MTN, Cell C, Telkom, Virgin, the cost is actually 79 cents per minute, and depending on the number of seconds, that's how it's calculated, prorated. The next question was, if Vodacom is the most expensive network, then why are we the biggest? And I think, firstly, I don't think we see ourselves as the most expensive, because I think a lot of things need to be taken into account. But just from that perspective, we focus on quite a few things. We focused on having the best network, trying to give customers the best or maximum value, and actually having the best customer experience. And we believe the combination of all three is what actually sets us apart from other networks, and that actually drives customers to choose us over other networks. The next question I've got was data traffic versus revenue and the differential of 6 to 8%. And just to put things into more perspective, so what actually happens is we've gone on a process of pricing transformation. So it's built into multiple components. But so one of the components is the pricing transformation we're doing with respect to some of the tariffs. So we've taken legacy-only tariffs and we've now included data. So what actually happens on a lot of these tariffs is we don't actually get more money. So we charge customers the same, but we give them considerably more value. And as a result, the revenue doesn't grow, but the amount utilized actually or does grow. The second one is what we've realized is when customers start buying bundles or they start utilizing data, a lot of times they buy bundles and they actually grow into those bundles. So you may start off and say, I'll start off with 1 gig and I'll see how that goes. And when you start off, you're actually using 500 meg, 600 meg, 800 meg, 900 meg. What we're seeing now is people are using their full bundles and they start to use more, and what they do generally when they start to use more is they also start to buy bigger bundles. So when you migrate from using one to two, the price differential comes down, so you actually use significantly more data at a lower revenue growth. The other thing in terms of data revenue versus data growth is we have multiple programs where we try and get people to actually, so programs like when the customer sets up their phone or when they come into our stores, we set up their phone for them, we give them some data to ensure they can download the relevant apps. We do some programs like zero rating the traffic you saw to the educational sites. So there's a lot of stuff where people use a lot more, but they actually don't get charged for it, and that also contributes to lowering the rates. I think the next question was, is there research per customer in terms of usage? So high level, I have a figure here in terms of smartphones over the last 3 years. We've actually seen 141% increase in terms of smartphone utilization over the last 3 years, and that's from 2013 to 2016. And the actual figures are moving at an average per customer of 237 meg to 572 meg. The next question was around device pricing at 399. So firstly, unfortunately, you can't get an iPhone for 399. If you could, I would probably be number one on the list, but what this is actually a prepaid price, so it's not a contract price, it's a once-off fee. And what we've done, it's a Vodafone or Vodacom branded device. What we've done is, in partnership with Vodafone, we invest a significant amount of money every year in terms of research and development and trying to consolidate bulk purchasing power to try and get the best deal for its countries. We've taken our Vodacom device, the Smart Kicker, and if we had to look at the equivalent 5 years ago, it was selling for 1,000. We've been able, through bulk purchasing, through trying to almost limit or gain from the benefits, to bring the prices down. And in some cases, where it's been required, we've also built in commercial deals to ensure we do it. That's the actual selling price in store. So that's not a ex-VAT price. That's the price if you walk into a Pep store on the 1st of October, as an example, you'll find their big deal will be $399. There's multiple other devices, but we just gave an example of one of the low-cost entry smartphone devices, but that's the actual price customers would pay for the phone. The next question was that I have here, evidence-based. Cost of building infrastructure or the taxes and devices reducing import taxes and stuff, I'm sure they can add more value, but my view on that one is that I think it, like, there's different components to bringing the cost down, and we need to identify all of those components. So the cost of data is a huge component and it plays a fundamental role. But if we want to get data or access to data services into underdeveloped countries, we also need to realize that the cost of the device is actually a major factor. So my view is that you do need to take it, or you need to review it holistically, and you need to look at, can the benefit we get from rolling out data devices into these areas at significantly lower prices, does that actually outweigh the cost of losing taxes? And that I think needs to be a bigger holistic view. And there may be a determination to say, if you're doing it under a certain price, then, oh, that's my view, I think it would be easier to do that. Instead of saying take away taxes or drop taxes, you try and almost do it proportionately, and you try and say, if you do it under a certain price, then we can look at a differential tax. But that's a personal opinion, and I think it needs to be looked at holistically, because it has a much bigger impact and it has far-reaching consequences.
Thank you, Jay. Responding to the statement around reaching more people should make it more affordable, I think it's actually the inverse. As we increase penetration, the more expensive it becomes. It's mainly as a result of traffic density. So as we penetrate the rural areas, we don't necessarily have the economies of scale and scope that we have in more traffic dense areas, and for that reason it's more expensive. Just an interesting example would be in terms of our experience in some of the African markets that we operate in, we actually faced by competition by other operators that actually cherry pick. So they don't have any rollout obligations. They basically focus on the traffic dense areas, the metro areas, and they only roll out network in those specific areas, which significantly reduces the cost to provide services in that specific city. But and I think that may be part of the reason why we see some of the comparisons that were raised yesterday and today. You know, in the DRC or Tanzania, where rates are very low, I think it that may play a role. And again, what we've tried to highlight in our presentation, we truly think that the 99% coverage is exceptional that we've achieved in South Africa. In effect, no access gap. And regarding the statement about Rava staying in Tanzania, I think that was commented on by Professor Gilwald. What do we mean with evidence-based proportionate regulation? So in essence, what we are saying is that if there's a need for regulatory intervention, it must be evidence-based. So it shouldn't be speculation around, you know, views with regards to views and perceptions around what is happening in the market. It should be a proper economic analysis as required in terms of the Electronic Communications Act. That's the evidence part. The proportionate part, that's also important. It means it shouldn't be a shotgun approach, meaning the intervention needs to be targeted at the narrowest point possible, and for that reason intervention only sits in the wholesale market furthest upstream from retail. And ICASA mentioned the work that they've done around facilities leasing and sharing. That would be, as an example, the point furthest upstream from retail. And we understand there are processes currently underway by ICASA. ICASA also mentioned their priority market review. We understand that would typically be an evidence-based process, and we intend to actively participate in that. With regards to the lack of policy alignment between municipalities, we appreciate the invite to actually list the municipalities, and we will do that and submit that to the committee after this meeting. With regards to the request yesterday about wholesale intervention by Dominique Cole, I think there were views expressed regarding wholesale and retail separation, etc. But what I also took from the presentation yesterday is that the main issue is about MNOs efficiently utilizing capacity, and for that reason we must wholesale it. So on that point, Vodacom is currently severely capacity constrained due to limited spectrum. The committee can be assured that we are using the limited capacity that we've got available efficiently. We currently also offer wholesale data services. And then what we can also say is, I think there was a comparison between mobile and fixed markets, and I don't know, the separation in fixed called for in mobile. What we can say is that the markets differ fundamentally in terms of its characteristics. In the case of mobile, there's choice, and operators compete for wholesale business. And then what we can also say is, coming back to the point about spectrum and rapid deployment, we do believe that those initiatives will assist with enhancing the dynamic functioning of the mobile markets. And
we may very well be in a position where more capacity becomes available, which may make more aggressive wholesale models possible. And then we also take note of ICASA's process to review priority markets. And as I've mentioned, we will fully participate in that. So that's with regards to the call for access regulation. Regarding the issue around dynamic spectrum assignment, so we are actively participating in ICASA's consultation process on that. And then just regarding the point about can we only reduce cost if we assign high demand spectrum? So I think it's evident that spectrum availability plays a significant role with regards to the cost to communicate. I think it was raised by various parties. So what we can say is it will have a significant impact. And the way it typically impacts mobile operators, I think in 2014, and we've stated that all our base station sites are 4G ready. So we've deployed single RAN technology on all our sites. The issue is we need to get access to additional spectrum to efficiently utilize that capability. If we don't get access to additional spectrum, we need to densify through putting down additional sites. And that's what we had in terms of the slide around data transformation can be improved. It's costly and it's time consuming to put down additional sites. So to put up a new base station site purely for capacity, we need to go through the painful process of approvals, getting electricity provided to that site, etc. And by getting access to additional spectrum, we dilute or eliminate that to a large extent. We can use the existing infrastructure to provide additional capacity, and for that reason the impact is likely to be significant. The same with rapid deployment. We had a graph indicating 90% self-provided transmission. I think it is important to say, and coming back to the cost of providing access to outlying areas, it is a challenge to take the 90 to 100%. Those are truly, you know, the difficult areas and costly areas to get transmission to. And any assistance with regards to allowing for rapid deployment of infrastructure will also play a significant role. Just regarding the benchmarks contained in the Research ICT Africa report on the SMS and voice baskets, we will have a look at that, but unfortunately we're currently not in a position to comment on that unless my colleague wants to attempt that. And I think that's... I trust that my explanation on the significance of the availability of spectrum also deals with the CSIR points around why is SA more expensive and what is pushing up the cost. We do think that the limited availability of spectrum plays a significant role, and as I've mentioned, we do believe that if we can address those, there will be a significant improvement, at least in terms of the underlying cost of providing the service, and we should see the benefits once those are assigned. Yeah?
Sorry, I actually have a few more that I just noticed. I think firstly, in terms of, there was a question around the basic education. So yes, when we started the zero rating of education in the portal, we actually built the capability initially for grades 4 to 7, and then we extended it from grade 8 to 12. And in terms of the question
on free education for universities. I can tell you that we constantly reviewing opportunities for this, and we will actually look at it as well. But just to say that I think when we started the education stuff also, it started in steps. So we started with the eSchool, one platform which we built to ensure that it was kept aligned and endorsed by the Department of Education. We then got requests for additional services like mindset learning, additional maths and science sites, which we evaluated and we decided to include as well. So it's a constant review to try and see what actually makes sense and what's practical. On the, I think there was a question in terms of pricing and promotions and bundles. I think just to come back to the ICASA report. The ICASA report is based on a period. So what they did is they reviewed a period of 6 months, and they said during that 6 months, these are the tariffs that were, price plans that were available. They specifically did exclude bundles and promotions, which we agree with. I think our point in terms of the 79 cents is that during that period, for the full portion of the, or for the full period, for that full 6 months, this tariff was available to customers and anybody could have moved to it. And that's why we've included it in, because based on the definition of or analyzing a period and saying during that time anyone could move or utilize that service, that's why we've included it. Just in terms of explaining the differences, you have core tariffs, which people are on or to start off with, so they choose their core tariff, which has a price plan or price for voice and a price for data that's allocated to it. Then you have the capability to purchase bundles on top of that. Those are not necessarily promotions. They're at any time you can go into a menu and purchase bundles, and that's according to what you want to utilize. So as an example, I could purchase a, if I knew I wanted to use a small allocation, I could purchase a data bundle. If I wanted to use it just for an hour, I could use a, purchase a data bundle for the day, for the month. But at any point in time, I can go into that and purchase the bundle. So those are not necessarily promotions, but they're almost like add-ons available, and customers can choose which add-on suits their requirements. Then we have promotions, which are generally available for a specific amount of time, and that's usually done to test the market, to give additional value or benefit, and that's more like sales. So if you think about it in concept in terms of if I walk into a store and there's a sale on for a specific month, or sometimes there's sales on for 6 months, I mean, the sales change all the time, that's that sort of thing, and sometimes it's actually used to gauge what the impact would be or what the benefits would be over a period. Then we have something else which we've added on. And it answers another question also in terms of what are we doing down to bring to get data prices more affordable. So we're trying to give customers more value through a number of ways. Some of those are introducing new bundles. Some of them are in terms of actually just dropping prices. So when we created our new default data default prepaid tariff, as an example, we actually dropped the data and the data prices by 25% and added on a recharge benefit. But one other thing we're doing, which is we believe is making a significant difference, is we've introduced a new the new program called Just For You. And what we actually do, according to the program, is we give customers, we analyze their behaviors, and we give customers offers that are best suited to their requirements or give them the best possible deals. So as an example, if I utilize 1 gig of data and I use it a lot and I'm not sure what to buy or whatever, we will actually give you the best offer for you in terms of how your behavior is. So we almost we look at what you have, how much money you have to spend, and we give you what's the best possible deal for you. And that's one of the ways we're doing it. The other one is we continuously look at opportunities to give more value. So we run a lot of campaigns in terms of recharge and get. Like I said, it's part of the base promotion now. We also look at, we periodically look at bundles, and we've now created a whole new catalog. So We didn't have weekly bundles, but we realized there are some customers who wanted weekly bundles, so we've created that for them. The next one is fortnightly bundles, there's longer term bundles. So that process in itself actually creates more value for customers. There was one more question with regards to out-of-bundle rates. So just two things. Bundle purchases allow networks to provision correctly and to ensure the correct quality of service. Out-of-bundle removes the certainty, making it difficult to correctly dimension a network, and that's why there's a differential between the two. But what we've done in the last few months, and we're constantly doing it, is we're reviewing opportunities to try and actually, firstly, we have dropped, in this last 2 to 3 years, we've dropped out-of-bundle rates. I think secondly, we're creating new programs all the time to notify customers of the benefits of moving to bundles and actually to try and sell them bundles. We do this through SMS, through push USSD, through MMS campaigns. And I think there was a mention in terms of the actual revenue in terms of out of bundle. So 16.5 billion, I think, was mentioned in terms of prepaid revenue. Just to be clear, that 16.5 billion is not data out of bundle. It's not even close. Majority of that is made up of voice. And that's where a customer opts to choose a plan. So just again, to reinforce the 79 cents plan as an example, if a customer opted to join the 79 cents plan or the 120 plan or any other plan, he's opting to join it and he understands the cost of a minute is 79 cents. When someone calls, that's actually viewed as out of bundle because he hasn't purchased a bundle and it's part of the core plan. So majority of that revenue is actually made up of voice revenue, not necessarily data, and it's made up on the core plan that the customer's chosen. So I think that's it.
I think some of the issues I have, are there any comments on the 2 points raised by the chair regarding the SMS the benchmarks with Cell C Telecom and the 1 gig benchmark?
So I think that was the research ICT one. I briefly heard it, but I think it was the voice and SMS benchmark. If I remember correctly, they said something about we were number 10 in terms of the rates. And so, because we haven't actually seen it, I think it's a bit difficult to give context to it. But I did hear the next one in terms of the data one being, if I remember correctly, I can't remember Telkom's press, but it was Telkom, Cell C, MTN, Vodacom, and it was around the 1 gig data, if I'm not mistaken. So the 1 gig data, if it's around the mobile internet prices, which is 149 for Vodacom, 160 for MTN, 149 for Cell C, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. That's the actual price. I don't think or anyone differentiates. You basically pay for what you're getting in terms of the validity and in terms of the quantity. So 1 gig, our price is 149. But we believe we offer superior value in terms of the overall package that the customer's getting. And we think that needs to be taken into account. So as an example, we believe we have the best network, and as such, you get that benefit from joining us. But just in terms of that also, we also have multiple other ways of doing it. So we have 1 gig for a week, if that's what you want. I think it needs to be analyzed or can only be reviewed based on what the requirement for the customer is, how he utilizes that data. But if you're purely looking at price, then yeah, we are 149 as opposed to the other network.
Okay, thank you very much. Just two things from me as a follow-up. Just to explain the issue of the data expiry, use it or lose it. That's one. The second one, the Midnight Express. Happy, is it? Oh, it's Happy Hour. Yeah. This one of people having to sit up at night and call. If that, I noted two hands, if I'm not mistaken. Honorable Mukwena. Did you have your hand up? No.
I've noted both the doctors sitting together.
Thanks, Chair. The simple answer to the question why Vodacom is still number one, even though its rates are still high, is the fact that they were the first to get into the market. That is the basic answer. I think it has very little to do with quality of service, and we get the same service from everybody. That's the first thing. Secondly, it's also not true that it's more expensive to expand and penetrate the market. It's not true, because we know the process. After your licensing, you put a mast there, and it sits there and collects revenue. There's very little maintenance that goes into there, and if you need to upgrade, that upgrade happens every 2, 3, or 4 years when you have to upgrade from 2G to 3G or to LTE. So it's simply not true. Three, can ICASA please explain to us, because they were supposed to implement a licensing requirement to Vodacom to say Vodacom must provide internet services to schools. Can they explain to us now, 4 years later, and tell us why they did not reprimand Vodacom, MTN, and all the others, and why they simply reduced the number of the schools that they're supposed to supply internet to, without explanation to either government or to nobody? And I think I forgot my fourth question. Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Johnson?
Thank you, Chair. I just want to interrogate two points. So you mentioned that you've interacted with ICASA on dynamic spectrum access. I haven't seen Vodacom offer a submission promoting the use of dynamic spectrum access to help alleviate the spectrum crunch. So that's my one point. So the other point was just about the spectrum crunch specifically. To me, and as you saw in my slides yesterday, there's really only a spectrum crunch in the large metropoles, in our urban areas. And there's no spectrum crunch in rural areas. So what are you doing about using that spectrum efficiently in the rural areas that you have? That was the last question. Okay, that's it.
Dr. Roy Moran.
My question, well, I have two questions. One is the clarification around the out of bundles again, sorry. So there is actually the slide on the screen that says Vodacom 79 cents, but now you said that most of those 16.5 billion come from people that are actually in these 79 cents packets but are being charged more. Can you please explain that? Because you are using this in your advantage, but at the same time you are charging people more with the same price plan. I don't understand. And the second one is in relation to the question from Honorable Mackenzie about the reinvestment of your revenue. You said 17%. Where can you give us a hint of where the other 83% of the revenue is going? Because I see some space there to reduce costs. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll give it to you. Prof.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just quickly address the dynamic spectrum allocation point that was raised again. The concept of dynamic spectrum allocation, especially in areas where there's either a high demand for spectrum or spectrum available, is clearly advantageous to rolling out our services and mobile services in general. However, the current regulatory framework prohibits us from doing that. That does not mean that we are not looking at the concept, and as a matter of fact, we are working on various different initiatives to try and see how we can do this. In fact, we are working with the CSIR on their initiatives around this.
So it is something that does make sense, it's something that we are looking in, and it's something that we can't do today in the current framework. Regarding the question about why data expires, I think it's important to understand that data as we use it is not a commodity. It's not like you go to the shop and buy a liter of milk, or go to the gas station and fill up your tank of petrol and then take it home. If you think about it, data is not something that one can store. You can't buy a gigabyte of data, take it home and use it as you wish. And the reason for this is that networks don't actually work in buckets of data. Networks work like streams of data that flow continuously. Think of rivers of data, and you can dip into these rivers and use data when you want. If you don't dip into it, that data is lost. So it's actually a service that you buy. An analogy might be like something like buying a gym membership, where you go to the gym every, or you pay your membership every month, irrespective if you use it or not. You cannot go to the gym 3 months down the line and say, I never used the gym 2 months ago, I now would like to use the gym. Or the other analogy that makes a lot of sense, because it talks to investment and even rollover, is if you have to build a parking garage and you sell parking spots, you pay a certain fee per month to park in a spot. If you don't park in that spot for that month, you can't go the next month and then say to the owner that, you know, I never parked here last month, I now want to park for free. And this analogy makes a lot of sense. To be able to cater for the customer that wants to come the next month and park, the parking garage owner will have to double his capacity. He has to double his infrastructure investment. So that has to be a balance then in terms of how much you invest to how much you make available. So data is a service. So when you buy a gigabyte of data from Vodacom or any other operator, be it a fixed line or a mobile operator, you buy access to a service with a certain cap on the amount of data that you can use. We see more and more uncapped services where you pay a fixed amount for an uncapped amount, but it's very, very expensive. So the concept of data bundles were actually brought in to bring down the cost to communicate. Before we had data bundles, people could have uncapped access, but that would have been extremely expensive. In the early days of mobiles, it would have cost you 40,000 rand a month for an uncapped service. So we had to introduce bundles. So this conversion of megabits per second and how networks work to megabytes, which we buy, or gigabytes, and the fact that it's a service is what creates this environment where data cannot firstly roll over and it has to expire.
Okay, so just in terms of Midnight Express, the proposition that we have is called Night Shift, and it's giving free calls based on recharge between 12 and 5 at night. This was done in order to, because we had spare capacity on the network at that time, and because we had already built the network, we decided to give back to the community by allowing them to utilize that time at no additional cost. So, and it's similar to the way a lot of things are priced. Like generally, you want to give the maximum benefit you can when there's no incremental cost from doing it. So here, there's no, I mean, the network is pretty much empty during the period, and we pass on the benefit to consumers. Just to clarify, coming back to the 79 cents and out of bundle discussion, I'm not saying that the rate for a voice call is 79 cents. I'm saying when customers call out of bundle, they get charged according to the tariff that they're on. So 79 cents is an example of one tariff. We have multiple different tariffs, and depending on which tariff the customer's on, which tariff is chosen, that will be the cost. So it's not every call is not 79 cents. The customer could have chosen Vodacom for less tariff, which is based according to, or charged according to the network capacity at the time, and they'd be charged according to the network capacity at the time. But they would be able to see what the rate they're paying is. They could choose the 120 flat tariff, and they'd be charged according to that. They could choose the daily free calls tariff, and they'd be charged according to that rate. So dependent on which rate they are. I just used, because 79 cents was up, and I looked up and I saw it, I actually used that as an example.
I have more hands coming up. The more you respond, the more the hands are going up.
I'm
scared to talk more.
It doesn't mean you should keep quiet. I've noted Honorable Tsotetsi was the first, Ms. Makwakwa, Honorable Mokwena, and then Dr. Gilbert. Just this explanation on data for me, it's not, I must say. The fact that I will lose it because you're making an analogy of a river flowing that I need to go and dip in. Shouldn't at least even be the issue that I don't lose it this month, I can lose it in 3 months without me use if I don't use it. That's what you're doing with calls. Why is it difficult with data? I mean, I'm just saying, if I buy a time, I don't use it within the month, I have not used it. Now, the explanation you're giving for me, it's just not just because I know you are doing it with voice calls. If I buy airtime, I don't finish my airtime within this month. It gets carried over. Now, the issue that I lose it now because it's a rover flowing, I need to go deep again, but I've paid for it. I think it's the issue. It doesn't mean that when somebody's doing it, the fact that Virgin Active, we must challenge them, the people who deals with it must challenge it. Because I just feel it's unfair. I've bought a data for one reason or the other. I could be unable to utilize it. Let's say I bought it and then I get sick. And then I'm not on my laptop. The following month, I'm expected to spend the same money that I don't have. But because I bought last time and for unforeseeable circumstances, I find myself losing the data that was meant. In this day and age, where things are very expensive, cost of living is expensive, surely. I'm just saying for me, it didn't come. Let me just allow other colleagues to come through so that it just doesn't occur well at all. Now, so that's...
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, I thought we were getting somewhere with Vodacom when they mentioned here a transformation of costs. But, you know, to be treating bundles like we're talking about perishable goods, and we must understand that this meeting was called precisely, you know, to address poverty issues, making life better for the previously disadvantaged people. But it seems this economic transformation policy I've just referred to narrow the gap, you know, of inequalities and reduce poverty. I see in it unintended consequences whereby we make rich, more rich the richer, you know, at the expense of poor people. The reason why we have this meeting is to try and make life better and also not making life worse for mobile operators. But it seems for them, you know, it's an advantage to even reap them more. Now we are actually going back. I thought you are already getting somewhere with this transformation of costs, but you are now running a vicious circle. It means people are using this policy, you know, to enrich themselves even further. Not even, you know, considering what has been said here by speaker after speaker. People talking about the low income groups. At least if it was expiring in 3 months' time, it was something. But I really don't, you know, get a sense of us progressing, making progress. And we have made a commitment to people who have presented here earlier on, even yesterday, that we take into consideration their recommendation for us to assist them and also make sure that ICASA, you know, tries to tighten the screws and make their life better. But we're actually doing the opposite. Can't you do something, please? We don't want to see ourselves, you know, mobilizing people out there. Ours is to make sure that we reduce as much as we can, you know, the level of the tweets and stuff like that. But the response we're getting, we're actually inviting trouble, and really we're tempering with our emotion.
Ms. Makwakwa.
Thank you.
I'd like to make some comments with regards to price and transparency, this issue of expiring data, as well as the issues around affordability with this 22% cost. On price and transparency, I think what's very disheartening is that some of the services that we see mobile operators such as Vodacom as well as MTN and others provide outside of the country, they seem to not be providing similar interventions in this country. Taking price and transparency on data, for example, we know that as of June of this year, in Ghana, the regulation actually requires mobile operators to offer USSD codes at periodic times to say, you have been online for this amount of time, you've used this amount of data, here's your new balance. And I'm not understanding why we are still not offering that here in a way that, of course, obviously the regulation doesn't require it, but clearly the operators are doing it in other markets. They have the technological know-how of how to implement it, and it would definitely quieten some of the noise we're hearing around disappearing data that a lot of our consumers in this country are talking about. So that's just one. I'm glad to hear that data is not milk, because certainly, but unfortunately, it does expire and disappear similar to milk. What my question would be is, where does it go? I mean, I hear the argument around parking lots and all of that. Is it being donated to schools, to public libraries? I think that is a consumer, and when we look at our CPA of 2008, a consumer has purchased and paid for this item. We need to be able to have some level of follow-through in terms of where the data goes to. And once again, I'll go to the markets where these companies operate. Ghana now has data rollover options, including for prepaid consumers. And so my question is, you know, why can't we have a similar regulation? But most importantly, I mean, the companies do a great job of telling us about their CSI. Why wait for regulation? You're offering this in other markets. It clearly helps consumers. It's of benefit and value. Why not be the good companies, corporate citizens that you always tell us you are, by just getting ahead of the issue and offering some of these? When we look at this 22%, I mean, I was really disheartened hearing the testimonies from personal, you know, perspective from the individuals who testified from Right to Know. 22% of poor people's income going towards internet. This has got to be about global competitiveness. In other markets, this is what young people are supposed to spend on housing. 22 to 25% of your income should go towards housing. We live in a very undivided society, in a very divided society, where we should never ever be comfortable with our young people spending so much of their very limited and sometimes unavailable income on trying to be connected. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. It's my last input. Three things. One, can mobile operators please explain to us what happens to data? This is a burning question that has been on people's lips for years now. I think in the past 2 years we've started hearing this thing. ICASA itself said yesterday that they've been hearing these complaints, but they don't seem to have the investigative capacity. So can we hear it from the horse's mouth before we then go and investigate? What happens to data that people are complaining so much? That is one. Two, why are SMSs not cheaper? It is the same technology you use to send a please call me, which is free. Why are we then paying more money to send an SMS, which is exactly the same technology? And then three, maybe they can just explain to us or respond to allegations that they're declaring dividends in tax havens through their relations with Vodafone, but they don't, you know, they don't have to answer that one, but I just wanted to flag it. Thanks.
Prof. Kilbert?
Thank you, Chair. I don't think the question about releasing spectrum to communities, to rural communities where there's no competition or where there's only one player in the market was dealt with. I was not referring simply to the dynamic spectrum issue, but the enabling of projects such as in Zeleni. There are NGOs ready to scale this up. If we applied the necessary regulations and got the signalling from mobile operators that they were not going to resist this on constitutional or other grounds, it would enable the regulator to act more quickly on this, and one could actually address this problem within 3 to 6 months. This is really low-hanging fruit.
Thank you very much, Prof. Kiluat. I think I echo your sentiments. This is a low-hanging fruit that should be responded to. Team Vodacom, I'm not saying what I said, that the more you speak, the more hands come. This is the last round.
Thank you, Chair. I apologize, but it's a complex concept to discuss on why data expires. And I'm going to attempt it again, but before I get there, just to answer the question around where does the data go, there's a view by consumers, and we all feel this, that it seems my data is just disappearing. I used to be able to do so much, and suddenly my data is gone. And if you look at the social media feeds, people complain all the time, the data just disappear. And this is a function of a number of factors. I think the first thing, of course, is that data cannot disappear. Data is consumed by your handset, and typically you, the user of that data. Sometimes you use the data, sometimes your handset uses the data in the background that you don't know about. For example, the new iOS 10 just came out. It's a 1 gigabyte update. Your phone could update and use 1 gigabyte of data, and you would not even know that your phone has done that. So the two things drive the increase in data usage, and we've heard the numbers earlier that consumers are using more and more data. The first is the networks are getting faster. The average speed on the networks now are in excess of 10, 15, in Vodacom's case, 16 megabits per second, which is substantially faster than copper. So that means data is delivered to your phone much quicker. Secondly, because the data is delivered much quicker, and then the second component, the handsets, have much better capability to display this data. The latest smartphones, including these very cheap smartphones from Vodacom, have got very high-resolution screens, and they can display a high-definition video. So what happens in this environment where I've got a very fast network with a handset that can actually use that fast network and display it, is that the content providers make higher quality content available. So for example, you would have looked at the standard definition YouTube clip 2 years ago. Today your phone automatically selects the high definition clip and the usage goes up. Also we see that users' behavior patterns have changed. And the question was asked yesterday, what are the dominant usage of data on the networks? And it's Facebook and YouTube. The web browsing being nearly 50% and video streaming being a big bulk of the rest, with specifically Facebook and YouTube in those. So what happens today, the way users work, is that people will sit in this room and take photos and upload it to Facebook and to Twitter. Their friends will see that, download those photos. So we see a massive increase in social media and media usage, both in photos being uploaded and in consumption. As a matter of fact, we had to start changing the dimensioning of our networks to be better in the upload speed than it used to be in the past, because no one used to upload data. Now people think nothing of taking 20, 30, 50 photos at a function, upload it to Facebook, and all their friends download it. So this is the core driver of the usage that we see. In terms of tracking this usage, a question was also asked, is we've got a number of processes in place where you can see in real time your data usage. You can use it on the apps, you can do it via SMS, you can do it via USSD, and we even send you notifications. So on that question is, do we not, as in other countries, help people to understand the data usage? There's a lot of that work being done, and you can at any given point in time look at your data usage or get alerts on what your data usage is. Then to come back to the data expiry. Again, data access to data is not a consumable product that you buy and you take home. And we fully appreciate this is how consumers see it. I've bought 1 gig of data, and I want to be able to put it in my pocket and use it whenever I like. And if we could find a way to put it in your pocket so that you could use it whenever you like, clearly that would be beneficial. But that's not how data works, because
of this horrible analogy that I used of rivers flowing, that is how it is. Data flows on the networks constantly 24/7, and you can put your data packet in there at any given point in time and it will be carried down the stream. If you don't put your data packet in there or take a data packet of a network, that data is gone. So data doesn't disappear. At the end of a month, it's not like we've got a lot of data left over that we can donate to a school. The data flows continuously and you buy a service access. As to the question, can we not make the roll over 30 days or 60 days or 90 days? We can make the roll over whatever we can design with our consumers in mind. And if you allow me to use the parking lot analogy again, if I build a parking lot with 100 spaces and I sell it to 100 people, and they use it every month, then the system is in balance, the ecosystem is in balance, and the infrastructure investment matches the revenue I get for those 100 spaces. If 50 people do not park this month and they come back the next month and say, I also want to now park, but there's already 100 new people for the next month, but I now want to have my 50 spaces that I paid for the last month in this month, I now somehow have to accommodate 150 cars in the second month. I can do that. I can build a parking lot that's got 150 parking spaces, and then I know that I can have 50% of my customers having a rollover of 30 days. And so the model pulls out. I can build a parking lot with 1,000 spaces in case I have 1 month where 300 people decide they want to park, but they've paid previously or maybe in that month. So this is called capacity planning. So we could do the same. We could dimension our network. We could build our network to carry 3 times more capacity than what people typically use in a month. The problem, of course, is that it drives the cost up. So we have to come up with a balance in how people use their data or how they would like to purchase their data with having the network at exactly the right capacity to make sure that we give a service quality that we promise customers. And the reason we pick 30 days is because that is how all services that you buy today, access to your digital television services, your financial services, all the other services, you pay in 30 days. In voice years ago, we also had this conversation, and then the choice was made to make the rollover longer, but that's built into the capacity and the pricing that we have today. So if you bring down the rollover, you can run at a more cost-effective level. If you increase the rollover, you have to dimension the network. Otherwise, you might get to a situation where a lot of people suddenly use a network that you did not expect. And we've done these tests before. We've run tests where we've given people a lot of data for free to use in a very short period to test the network resilience, and it was a problem. People complained about the quality. So we can do rollover, but there's a cost implication.
Okay. Are we done? Last one?
And just regarding the question by Professor Gilwald regarding, you know, alternative use of spectrum in underserviced or rural areas, we'll have to get some technical input on that question and revert back.
Okay. So we are done with all the questions. Okay, we are done with Vodacom. It's 1 o'clock, we're going to break for lunch, and we'll be back at 2 and proceed with our hearings. Thank you very much, colleague. Thank you.
I didn't say you know. But then we said in the submission as well, high demand for home assignment.